It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Mayo are going to the qualifiers. Galway are thinking they might win one before us. Billy Joe Padden, how are you?
I am considering, Rob, I'm pretty good. Considering a defeat to Galway, it's never easy to take. But yeah, all else, it's definitely, I've been using the mantra this week of football is the most important of all the non-important things. So like, yeah, that makes me feel a bit
better. I like your thinking there. Ollie Turner called it, it's 1998 all over again on Galway Bay FM Sports. Before I bring in my guest, Billy Joe, I feel like in 1998, though, it was May and we had nothing to look forward to. We still got the qualifiers. Cling on, there's hope.
Yeah, and I suppose, Joe, I'm just, you put me into kind of a shock there because I instantly remember feeling in 1998 walking out of McHale Park, Galway going to win the All-Ireland, aren't they? And I knew it there and then.
Did you?
I don't have that feeling now. But so maybe they'll prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's a fair point, though. There was something about that Galway team. I'm not sure this Galway team has that spark of gold dust just yet. But Barry Cullinan's on the podcast and he might say otherwise. How are you, Barry?
I'm very well, lads. Considering. Actually, you know what? Considering, and in fairness, like, it was a dark week for Galway GAA. You know, the loss of Kate Moran was tragic for everyone, particularly obviously her family and her club. And I think Pori put it really well after the game. We hope, or everybody hopes, that might have given everyone that was associated with that tragic accident a little bit of a lift in sport. As Billy said, it's not important, but sometimes it is really important. I suppose things like that put everything into perspective. But look, it's a great release. And once I got through out of Castlebar and once I got through Ballinrobe and got home, it was a very enjoyable Sunday game.
I can't believe you didn't ring me about back roads through Ballyglass. Barry, you gotta think. You didn't come in the Castlebar Road, did you?
I took
down past the racecourse.
I took a right through the racecourse, I think, or through someplace. Anyway, it was private property, so I apologise.
You did that route. I'm not even going to mention that on air. That's really like Google Maps shouldn't be putting you down there, let alone anyone else. Anyways, understood, and you did the right thing. Enough of that. Barry, what a day for Galway. Where does it rank for you in great Galway victories over
I wouldn't see it as a 98 moment just yet, to be honest. I think, 98 is, you know, for me, I was 14 and those lads, like, heroes, every single one of them. But I think 98 is heightened and that sense of awe around that team is heightened by a year till Sunday. You know, because that hasn't been done before. And I think just the fact that we had like an insight into these lads, it kind of nearly felt like we knew them. And I think that feeling of what a glorious year and that swashbuckling kind of side of play was heightened slightly by a year till Sunday. But I think I wouldn't see it up there as one of the great victories. I think I won't get the year, but I think Kevin Walsh's first victory over Mayo and Castlebar was probably a little bit more, probably a better day in the fact that I think everybody realises that was a better Mayo team at the time. I think in general, after Sunday, we all feel it was an absolutely brilliant win. But that both teams on paper are very even and maybe Mayo didn't play that well, and that might have led into the fact that Galway won, whereas Galway did play really well. But I think the overall feeling is that Mayo aren't great, rather than maybe Galway going to go on and win the All-Ireland.
Billy Joe, there you have it. I mean, we've been trying to wrestle with that, like not wanting to be dismissive of Galway or not wanting to let the rivalry take over our opinion, but that nagging feeling that it was a bad game to lose.
Look, it's always a bad game to lose in a Mayo Galway game. You never want to lose any of those. I think that Mayo just have to focus on, both teams coming out of that game have to just focus on themselves, because if Galway are going to go on and achieve what they want to achieve, probably what they should achieve considering some of the talented players they have, more of their team are going to have to improve. They're going to have to improve their own performance level, because in some respects they deserve to win. They did everything. They were the better team in all the big moments of the game. Their bigger players had better games, but still they only won by a point. And, you know, they have been poor at seeing out games. You know, that Monaghan game of the league springs to mind. And the closing stages of this last game will be something that Pádraig Joyce can address, because something he can point to and say, and every player in that dressing room will know that's an aspect that they can do better. So I think from that point of view, it's a positive thing for Galway. They can go on and develop. And Mayo the same way. Well, you know, maybe there's bigger issues at play with Mayo, and that they're having to wrestle with lack of confidence, you know, just not lethargy, but just being worn down by it all over the years of trying to come back from defeats. The only thing I say in the big picture stuff is that, big picture, we see Kerry as being good, you know, a good team. Dublin are far from what they were. And all the other teams, there is not a whole lot. Look, Tyrone are in a better place than Galway are at the minute. But would it be outlandish to say if Galway got 3 or 4 more wins over the season that they couldn't beat a Tyrone in an All-Ireland semi-final or a final? Of course they could. There's that much improvement to do. Whereas I don't think this Tyrone team, this Galway team, this Mayo team, maybe even this Kerry team, and they seem to be the best, would have come close to maybe what Dublin were 4 seasons ago. Do you know what I mean?
You don't have to be that good to win an All-Ireland, so to speak. But you know, one thing, just back to you, Billy Joe, that really struck me about Mayo's performance was, like, there's been, and you've talked about in your column this week, it's the fact that they weren't just bamboozled by a system, because I thought they brilliantly, patiently worked their way back in that first half. I mean, to find themselves 5 points down, to see a wall in front of you, and to pick off scores like they did, God, it was a cracking comeback. That's why so many people were so perplexed by the second half.
Yes. And I suppose I look at it in the way that Galway were very physical in those early exchanges, obviously very pumped up, had a lot of bodies back. I think in some ways, those frees that Mayo got Mayo back into the game. While you're right, Mayo were the dominant team in terms of possession. Mayo were creating turnovers in the middle of the field. Mayo were you know, not camped, but they were to use a rugby term, they had the majority of territory. But I don't think any of the scores came easy to them. I don't think it was a case of where any of them were really well-worked scores. You know, you think of the Owen McLaughlin one, it was, I think, the first score from play, and that was a one-on-one thing. He just takes his man on and blast past him. I think Ryan O'Donoghue gets a good mark score in that stage. It's the frees, really. James Carr did well to get a free. I know he think he got another good point for play. It's all individual quality as more so than putting 5 and 6 really high quality passes together to open up a bit of space. And that's where I would see the difference. And then in the second half, you've gone much more disciplined in defense, not giving away the frees, as many of them, and Mayo unable to create those individual scores.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Edwin said to me, Barry, one thing he liked about Galway's system was it wasn't just waiting for Mayo to come at them. In the second half, he felt that Galway took their opportunities to push up to the Mayo 65 almost and put pressure on the likes of Matty Horan. Like, Mayo weren't necessarily able to just spray the ball around on halfway as much as they would have liked to. They picked and chose their moment, so to speak.
I think they still went relatively defensive. Like, it didn't change in terms of Kieran Malloy and Dylan McHugh dropping to just outside the D straight away when Mayo were on the attack. Possibly the line in front of them pushed a little bit high. But in reality, Matthew Rowan did break that line a couple of times. Now, his shot selection was way off, very, very poor. But I don't think Galway changed a huge amount. I think Mayo just went lateral a little bit more back the pitch, so it kind of drew Galway out. And I would say that was probably something they spoke about at half time, was let's try and get that Galway second half back line, for want of a better word. So instead of it being Dylan McHugh, John Daly, Kieran Malloy, it was kind of Johnny Heaney, Finian O'Lee, and who, Niall Daly, or whoever dropped back in. Niall Daly's gone at halftime. Whoever had back dropped back into the half back line. So try and get them to come further out the pitch so you can break a line and get through it. And they did at times, but just didn't do it enough. And I know, you know, I have to be, as a goalie person, I have to be very careful what I say here, because I don't want them to come back and bite me on the arse in 6 weeks' time.
No, you're sound. We'd never do that.
Two months' time, Mayo in an All-Ireland final, and we're dumped out of it. But I think you have to have a bit of realism as well. Brilliant comeback, but in 29 minutes of football, with a decent wind, like there was a wind there, they scored 1 point, you know, so that's not good enough, lads. And, you know, I know you can look at the positives in terms of a comeback, but that was very, very poor stuff.
No, I don't think, Barry, anyone's looking at that comeback as a traditional Mayo surge. It was a strange one. And for me, and I totally agree with the people who've said it was more about Galway, like some of the mistakes they're making at the end there.
Well, can I cut across just in terms of that? But that 6 minutes was traditional Mayo. It was high energy, on breaks, powering forward. You know, halfbacks, Owen McLaughlin, powering forward. That's what Mayo do. They get these high energy games, and that's James Horan talks about it all the time. High energy, high powerful athletic stuff, and they did that in the last 6 minutes. But the question is, why weren't they doing it for the first 30 minutes?
No, I can't argue that. I do think though, you know, the one short kick out Galway went for, and then they got turned over, and it ended up being I think a free in. Like, I think that nearly gave Mayo encouragement, and it was a big mistake by Galway at that stage. It should have taken 30-40 seconds off the clock with the kick out gone long, because they'd been going long pretty much the whole game to that point. So I think that was definitely a Galway error. But you're right; they seem to have more energy in that last section, whereas everything up to that point was dead. It was dead. You know, there was no zip about it. Now,
what's going on, Billy Joe? Why is that? Like, why is this team so laden down? Like,
well, I think there are a couple of things that played into that. In that, okay, you have Jeremy O'Connor and Killian O'Connor coming back after not having played a whole lot of football. So, like, they looked very, very tired in the second half. So that's two players that played a lot of the game, you know, in the half forward line where you need to have energy. You then had a situation where Oisin Mullen, who's a player who could have been more dynamic in the second half, considering his run ability, you know, he goes off early enough in the second half injured. So that's another runner gone down. You know, Barry rightly mentions Owen McLaughlin was the one fella driving forward because he still had the energy. Matty Ruan, who has been a very good player for me over the last 2 years, had probably his worst game in a long time. And he's another key aspect of that game driving forward. So in terms of that middle third engine, you didn't have Paddy Durkin, obviously, and then you didn't get the impact from the bench that you were hoping for. You know, Kearney came on, looked okay. Kevin McLaughlin came on, got a score, but it's nothing like what you would normally associate with that engine room for Mayo in general in a big game like that, in terms of the energy, the drive forward. So as I agree with Barry, that's what Mayo would normally do. They try and wear you down with that direct run and with that intensity, that off the shoulder. But when Mayo didn't have the players to do that, then the thing that was most evident about that period in the second half is that we all know this. Mayo don't have another way to play other than maybe 4 or 5 years ago when unsuccessfully, and Rob, me and you don't need to get started on this, we tried to play with a target man, Aidan O'Shea, and something I always hated and felt didn't work for a number of different reasons, not just all on Aidan. But So like, once you're not able to play that running game, it's very flat looking.
You know, this is a Mayo podcast, so I'm going to have to offer my opinion on Mayo. But I do query that.
Sorry, I'm just getting you a cup of tea here. But yeah, don't worry, carry on. Do you want some digestives, is it?
No, chocolate ones. I just question that a tiny bit about Mayo don't have another way to play, because Andy Moran got Footballer of the Year from full forward. Now, he's not going to get that if Mayo run everything up the pitch and try and get all their scores. So at that time, they had players that were able to kick the ball into, create a game plan that allowed your full forwards, when they didn't win the All-Ireland, to be Footballer of the Year. Now, that game plan on Sunday doesn't allow Ryan O'Donoghue, if he's full forward, to be Footballer of the Year. So what's happened in the meantime? And just one other point in terms of the flatness of Mayo, I think when they saw the template that Galway were going to go with and try to win the game, I think it sucked energy out of them, because deep down they knew that they mightn't have the tactical nuances to break this down. And then one final point in terms of sucking energy from it, and it has happened before, is I think Killian O'Connor's free in the first half where he hit it with his left. I think that sucks the life out of Mayo. And then when he went to take the 45 and it trailed off to the left, I think Mayo players at that stage went, this has happened to us time and time again, and it's happening to us today.
Well, I'll start with the first point there. I completely agree with your point about Andy Mourne and how he won Football of the Year. I suppose, you know, he won, who was manager? I can't remember who was manager of Mayo at the time when he was Football of the Year. But yeah, but I think that the key difference then is if you look at the makeup of the Mayo halfback line, particularly that was on the field, or even the players in Mayo's midfield and halfback line, then compared to now, and you go through their attributes, like Colin Boyle, he's not a spectacular kick passer, but he's a very accurate side-footed kick passer, 25 yards, bounce the ball in front of somebody. You know, if Lee Keegan is out there, he has the confidence to do that. If Chris Barrett is out there, he has the confidence to play that bouncing ball in front of a forward. Shamie O'Shea even is more confident playing that kick pass forward, bouncing in front of a player. Parsons even, they're not the best kick passers in the world, but that's what they can do that, and they were keen to do that. Whereas if you look at the Mayo midfield and half back line the last day, they don't do that. Owen McLaughlin's not confident playing that kick pass into the D to bounce in front of somebody. Aidan O'Shea is not confident doing that anymore. Very rarely kicks the ball. Plunkett probably not can kick the ball, probably not getting on the ball, not imposing himself on the ball often enough. Cohen, not confident doing that. So I think there is a key difference in terms of the personnel and the attributes that they have that Barry has pointed out. And I completely agree with that aspect of it.
Can I just ask, sorry, I'm jumping in. And are they not, is that skill set not there, or have they been told our game plan is we run everything and we recycle ball from you know, maybe that is their game plan and they've been told don't kick it away?
Well, it may be the game plan. I suppose Barry, we don't know. We're not in the dressing room. But I'm only going on what I see in National League games or on the pitch or a bit of club football that I get to see of these players. You know, they don't have the same confidence or attributes. You know, Chris Barrett went up the field in the All-Ireland semi-final and kicked 2 points from 45 yards out. You know, he's much more confident kick passer. Colin Boyle, the same way, much more confident kick passer. When Lee Keegan's spending all the time out in the half-back line, you know, Lee Keegan has such confidence in himself, he doesn't mind going for a kick pass. He doesn't mind a turnover. You know, so the Mayo half-back line the last day, whether it was by design, i.e. the game plan, or whether it's in terms of skills, they didn't do it. And I don't think those players that were there are as good as the players that were there maybe 3 or 4 seasons ago that were able to do it in terms of that aspect of the game.
And to extend that, Barry Edwin said in his piece in the Mayo News this week that, you know, we can talk about Galway having better forwards, but as he said, I'm not sure you disagree with this anyways, but if Ryan O'Donoghue had been in that Galway forward line with that kind of space, he would have had a field day up front.
But just
you
if
go
I
first, Billy Joe.
Yeah, no, and sorry, I'd forgotten that Barry made that point about Ryan O'Donoghue. Like, I was feeling the exact same way about him and about James Carr, because I think when you look back in isolation at their contributions to the game, when they got their hands on the ball, you see a whole load of positive stuff. Like Ryan O'Donoghue got 4 points, a mark. James Carr was fouled for a very direct run in the first half, got 2 lovely points. So the question you have to ask yourself, are those players not making the right runs to make themselves available for the ball more often? Or it could be just down to really good defending, and Galway had a lot of these passing lanes blocked off. But I think it's more likely that it's down to the inability of Mayo players out the field to get quality ball into them in the right areas. And that's a huge frustration when you consider that how well Ryan O'Donoghue's played basically the last 2 years. He's a quality player. You get Killian O'Connor back, who's, you know, still a very, very good player. And James Carr has done nothing but positive things in the last 2 games.
Big thanks to Nigel Reap Office Supplies, Print and Sign, for supporting what we're doing here in the podcast. A friend of the podcast, as you know, comes on to talk football with us. But if you need any printing done, posters, signs, lotto booklets for your club, you name it, then give a shout to Nigel in Knockmore at 086-858-6572. Barry, were you worried when Aidan O'Shea was put into the full forward line? Do you think that's where he should play?
I wasn't, Rob, to be honest, in that we knew we'd load the bodies back. But, and I said this to a good Mayo man during the week, I thought Aidan O'Shea had an unbelievable first half. I thought he ran himself into the ground. I thought his turnover rate was high. I thought he played really, really well. And I thought he kind of, personally, if I was over Mayo at that stage, I would have taken him off and said, you've given us absolutely everything. Let's try and freshen things up and get someone else in. Because back to the previous point, if you look at this big guy in full forward, that was set by Jack O'Connor when he put Kieran Donaghy in there. He was kind of the first football bomber or whatever, but Kieran Donaghy. But he had Tomás O'Shea at right half back, Killian Young at left half back, who from 50 metres could kick absolutely unbelievable. I'd have caught them. 50 yard passes diagonal across the pitch into Donaghy. We knew that wasn't going to happen. If anything was to happen, it was kick it in high, and if that doesn't work, kick it in higher. And that's not going to trouble an awful lot of players. I wasn't overly bothered by Aidan O'Shea going to put forward, but I have to say, I thought in the first half, I thought Aidan O'Shea had an excellent game, and I would hope that he's not receiving a huge amount of the flack that's been thrown the way of the Mayo footballers this week.
Some talk as well, Billy Joe. I mean, we're darting around here, but you know, you talk about Aidan O'Shea coming off. The changes have left a few fans. Some of the fans on Discord were pointing out, like, was that not a perfect game for Fergal Boland to impact? Was that not a more likely game for Darren Cohn if you're trying to score from long range out in the corner? What's your thoughts on how we used our bench? Because both those were available and not used.
Yeah, I can see the logic in both of those players because they're quite good shooters, and what did Mayo need at that stage in the game was a couple of outside shots, didn't get it. So I can see the logic of those players being put in there instead of the players. If you take somebody like the Kearney substitution, the Kearney's not, you know, from what the limited amount of football we've seen from him, he's very young in his career and he's done a lot of good things, way more positive than negative. He's the sort of player that has that energy, that physicality around the middle of the field, and that's, in some ways, that's always what James goes back to. He always goes back to that. You know, Fergal Boland and Darren Cohn don't give you that. They give you outside shots. And sometimes, you know, not always consistent. I think generally they're good kickers, but they can have bad days, like anyone can. And I think that point is well made. I think if it was me in that situation, I think I would have been going for the outside shooters at that stage, considering that that's really what you needed. You needed to get the scoreboard going to generate that momentum. It's maybe getting more on Barry's point there, is that the scores that Mayo got at the end kind of gave the rest of the team confidence, gave them some momentum. And maybe if they were able to do that with a couple of scores in the middle of the second half, well, then they could have got out of that rut a bit sooner. And I think it would have been much more likely to roll the dice with those sort of players for the outside shots than maybe the way Mayo did go.
I'm going to make a Barry point for him, and Barry can come in off the back of it. But Billy Joe, on with Kevin McStay last week, Barry was saying that Mayo's lack of a left-sided free taker is a big, big issue. Am I getting that mixed up? Right-sided free taker, yeah. I always get that wrong. A left-footed free taker is what I'm trying to say. What's your thoughts on that? Because free taking was the difference. Like Shane Walsh, a masterclass. Killian O'Connor, a mixed bag.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go back. The 45, it always looks worse when you have somebody that makes it look effortless on the other team. And not every inter-county team has a consistent 45-meter, 45-taker. Mayo certainly haven't had that. It's, you know, Killian O'Connor has taken all his frees from his hands for as long as I can remember, really. And so he's obviously not as comfortable doing it as Shane Walsh is. So him missing the 45 is not really, it's important and it was a blow, but it's not really something we can expect to be any different because we haven't had a consistent 45 taker, and it's not necessarily Killian's skill set. The frees he misses out of his hands they hurt you much more. I think Barry has a point in terms of the left-footed one. Should you just in that situation back your good foot and go for it? And it doesn't look as desperate. And I don't mean desperate as bad. It just means that it looks like, okay, this team has no other option other than a player kind of using his weaker foot in a situation he wouldn't normally do that. And that kind of looked bad in that regard. But if Mayo had a left-sided free taker, they'd have used him. But like, who do they have? You know, they don't have anyone there that's consistent on
the point I made to Kevin was, so I wasn't really talking about, like, you know, 20 meters or 20 on the 21, but out near the sideline or 40 meters from goal, someone kicking with his left. My point was 20 meters out, nearly exactly where Killian O'Connor got it. That that you needed someone that was going to, like, could Aidan O'Shea not have kicked that one with his left? I know he's not a free taker, but is there any, like, surely, yeah, I don't know, Rory Byrne left footed, no, someone like that.
No, and we've gone through this with Kevin McLaughlin, who has a really, you know, he's a good left foot, really good kick passer, generally consistent shooter, and he's just not comfortable in the free taking situation there, and it hasn't worked out for him. And he's probably the only left footer of, you know, with a good left foot that you would try on the frees. Like, I think Aidan Orr might have hit a few frees with his left foot for Mayo in the National League, and that didn't work out well. And I thought, I was hoping that that was something that he could add.
But Billy Joe, is there not like a, I remember Andy Moran and Killian used to work moves all the time offshore frees, and surely there's a new pattern then. It's like a free on the left, we don't kick it over.
Yeah, you make the question, do you go with that? Or I sometimes find in those situations that, you know, it wasn't that far out. I would have gone with it with my right foot, stole a couple of yards, stole 6 or 7 yards, gone with my right foot, and make the referee make me go back and take it again if I had to. But that's just what I think you do in that situation. You don't have a left footed free taker. Nothing else you can do. The only thing I will say is that you can't give up free scoring chances, you know, like a placed ball. You can't say, well, we're just going to play every one of those short because it's on the wrong side. No, you have to gauge it. And there, I just think Killian made the wrong decision. He should have gone at it with his right foot.
You were mentioning before off air, so may say it on air, Barry, you were impressed with Rory Byrne's performance. Like Mayo did very well off kickouts in that game. I mean, if you told me they were the stats, I would have presumed Mayo won by 3 points or more, but they didn't.
I thought, excuse me, I thought Rory Byrne was excellent. I thought he got some fantastic kicks, fantastic kickouts away in the second half. Now, maybe Galway switched off slightly, but I thought he had a really, really good game. I thought he was commanding in goal. I said I thought he looked really assured on his kickouts for a guy that was at his championship debut. He certainly hasn't played an awful lot for Mayo. Really, really.
I think
impressive.
He has one other championship game against Leitrim.
Against Leitrim last year, yeah, you know, you're right.
Okay, so, you know, but still very, very inexperienced and under huge pressure because, you know, Robbie Henley has shown a real good form over the last year or two. And, you know, sometimes come into that, people are looking for the goalie to make mistakes, but I thought he showed huge confidence. Now, Patrick Kelly, who came on for Galway, had a really good game, but he switched off once or twice, or maybe he didn't switch off. Byrne just floated it out over his head. He's about 6'4", onto a run in Mayo half back. And I think if you were looking for one real positive, I think that was a huge positive for Mayo on Sunday.
Why, just out of interest, as we bring, this is a short podcast this week, because we have lots to talk about as the weeks go on. And if you haven't heard, just before I ask this question, John Mann's on with Mike Finnerty for patreon.com/Mayo podcasts. You got to listen to John Mann talking all things philosophy, football, down the drum. He was out in the bog, I think, on Monday, trying to pick himself up, his spirits up from what happened with the Offaly. But some really interesting stuff in the bigger picture about where Mayo football are right now. So that's that. We have their game podcast as well. But let me move to Galway little bit here, Barry. What are the big positives for you right now? Like, coming into this game, I'm just going to summarize the mood I was getting from you, which was kind of mediocre about where things were. How positive are you now?
Yeah, positive. Like, I don't think Galway set the world alight on Sunday. They found a good template that has proved successful against Mayo in the past. Not just by Galway. And they copied it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And a bit like what you mentioned earlier in Shane Walsh, I think it really, at the real moments that we needed something, our big players came up with it. I thought, you know, Damien Comer came up with a few of them. Paul Conroy, really, when we needed scores, he ghosted into positions and got them. And then those three frees by Shane, who didn't have his most influential game that he's ever had for Galway. But when we really needed big lifts and big energy moments, those are them. And if we can fine-tune, like I said this to someone else, like when Pádraig Joyce and his management team sat down 3 years ago and they got the job, if you said to them, the way you're going to win and the way you're going to go forward is by putting 14 players behind the ball, he would have laughed at you. He walked out of the room. But he has evolved, and he's seen that this is like modern Gaelic football is a bit like basketball now. Everybody goes forward when you attack, everybody goes back when you defend. And that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, sometimes it's bad to look at. Sometimes it's very good to look at. But
Barry, some people are trying to say this is different than Kevin Walsh. I've heard that on the Second Captain's podcast this week. I've heard it in a few places that no, there was something more nuanced about it, something more attacking about it. Are you buying that? Because for me, but obviously I was looking at it through Mayo glasses, it felt like just a Kevin Walsh style.
No, I think we scored 114. It wasn't the biggest score that anyone has ever put up. So I'm not sure there's as much merit in that. I guess maybe that might be slightly biased in the fact that Damien Comer was man of the match. People might say, oh, well, it had to be a forward going display. And I don't think it was overly. One thing that worries me slightly is, like, I thought Jeremy O'Connor had a really good first half as well. And again, I thought he ran out of legs. That we need to fine-tune that. We said the likes of Johnny Heaney going back to left half-back, it allowed a lot of, and Kieran Malloy going back sitting in front of the D, it allowed Jeremy O'Connor a huge amount of space in the first half. And when Mayo were on top, he was really, really influential. And I think he's a top player. If we're to go with that game plan, we need to identify players to say, right, we're dropping back, but he's picked up all the time. And that's one thing. And I think if we can continue in our vein of form in terms of up front, I think we're in with a shot in terms of certainly against Roscommon. I don't think there's any major powerhouse of a team out there at the moment. Like Kerry are 6-5 to win the All-Ireland. Galway are 10-1. I don't think there's that much of a gap between those two teams. So, we're not getting carried away by any means. It was a brilliant victory. It was really, really needed. But I saw Anthony Cunningham leaving Castlebar. He looked relatively confident that if he gets over Sligo and Galway get over Leitrim, he'll find something to trouble Galway. And I think Mayo probably gave him a template of what will trouble Galway in the last 15 minutes of the first half and the last 6 minutes of the second half. High energy, huge pace, moving the ball forward, huge movement inside from your good players, and most importantly, kick your frees.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms, you can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
And Roscommon might be able to do that. Billy Joe, it's weird. I could see Roscommon beating Galway definitely right now. Could really see it. But at the same time, if I'm in Croke Park in 2 months' time and it's Galway versus, let's say, Tyrone or Donegal in an All-Ireland semi-final, I have to admit as well, even though I'm not blown away by Galway, you'd wonder, they might do this. They could do it. They could get to a final.
They could. But I think at the minute, you look at the what I thought coming into this game from a Mayo point of view is that you look at the holy trinity really of that Galway team is Comer, Walsh and Conroy. And I thought that we'd do enough to nullify, maybe one of those and the other one maybe just so that they break even. They're very, very good players. But all three of them had positive contributions. All three of them were big in big moments. And that's all you can hope for from your big players. If Galway are going to do anything more than win a Connacht title, they have to get more out of the other players. They have to get a little bit more, take the pressure off them, because you can be sure Roscommon will identify, have specific plans for those three players and anyone else they will in future. And when you have players that are spending more and more time away from goal, like Conroy's a midfielder, Comer spent a lot of time out the middle of the field, Walsh sometimes does his best work when he rampages from a deeper position. It's much easier to man-mark lads out there. You can be damn sure that Tyrone, somebody would have a plan for them three lads. Kerry the same way, with Paddy Talley and Jack O'Connor. They are very strategic in the way they think like that. So I think that other players will have to chip in.
Billy Joe, were we not strategic enough then? Are you saying
talking
about there, Mayo didn't come with enough?
I don't think we were. I think in terms of the Shane Walsh stuff, I think Barry's right. The big moments for him were place balls. Didn't do a whole lot in open play. It's difficult to man Mark Comer when he's kind of so fluid in and out. The one for me is the Conroy one. Conroy had a couple of sighters at the sticks in the first half and missed them. I don't know how many shots in goal he had. He definitely had five. He might have had six. He could have had seven. I can't remember exactly. That's criminal. Considering the form he showed in the Division 2 League final, the first thing you'd be saying is, I don't care. I'm sacrificing somebody to man mark him. Maybe Stephen Cohen, maybe even Matty Ruan. So I think it was a huge mistake. not being able to shut him down. Now, maybe when I go back and watch the video again, if I can stomach it, I'll say that, oh, actually, Mayo tried to shut him down, just couldn't do it. But and so maybe I can be proved wrong in that regard. But the one thing that is sure is we didn't shut him down.
I made room for a rerun of the Formula One. I've deleted it. No, I haven't. Barry, you've watched it 7 times, I'm sure, at this stage. Have you watched it back?
Yeah, I watched the Sunday game, and then I watched it. I watched the whole thing, yeah.
Curious, better on the rewatch or better in live?
No, I think overall, roughly very, very similar. Like, the Galway game plan, it wasn't the hardest thing to read in the world. Like, even a mediocre pundit like myself was able to see exactly what was going on, and it just showed that in the when you watch the recording of it, that just Mayo, they just went lateral too often. Now, you know, that's fine, and you have to be patient and all of that. But on the flip side of that is they didn't, like, Damien Comer had a great game, but like they gave absolutely no protection, or like they didn't block up any channel for him to go out into, like, one of the points got in the first half where he jumped, tipped it down to himself and kicked it over the bar. No one came within a ass's roar of him, you know, from a half back line pouring back. It was just a low energy performance from Mayo, and it was very strategic by Galway, and they kicked their scores. You know, even Killie McDay, come on, got a great, it was a better score than I thought it was. That, it just didn't seem that Mayo were going to get that type of score from anywhere. And it was just a good day for Galway. As I said, a lot of what they hit, there was a few in the first half that dropped short or whatever, but majority of what they hit was good. And the majority of what they hit was the right option. And I think, you know, Mayo can be forgiven at times if they kick what's the right option and it doesn't go over, but it's kind of unforgivable when you kick what's the wrong option and it doesn't go over. And, you know, the final one, Aidan Orr, like, great courage to go for it. But that's one, I'm sure Billy Joe, you agree, you make the ref make a call on this one, lads. You know, David Goldrick, I thought he had a good game. Like, human nature suggests you're going to try and make a draw out of this. Like, make him make a decision one way or the other. You know, against your euphoria, don't kick one that's 20%. And that's certainly something, you know, we know James Horan is absolutely, he's a stickler on detail and on right options and all of that sort of stuff. And like, he will be fuming on that.
Yeah. Look, I take full responsibility for Aidan Orr's miss, because I've been telling him all the league campaign that he needs to back himself more. And I still maintain that. But look, when you go back and look at that in reality, it was a bad decision. You know, I know time was up. I think your Barry's right. So as long as in that situation you don't kick the ball back to your half back, the referee is going to let it play out for another 30, 40 seconds. He's going to let you get another shot away. He's going to make a decision on a free kick, whether either in your favor or against you. So long as you don't kick it back halfway back the field, then he'll feel okay about blowing up the whistle. No referee in that situation, when a team is chasing the game, will not give an attacking team the opportunity to play out that attack. And bad decision. He learned from it. I think the whole team will learn from it. But I think it's something that shows that there was a lack of clarity in terms of, you find yourself in that situation. Because you find yourself in that situation, and for me, Killian O'Connor, Ryan O'Donoghue, Lee Keegan, players like that, those are the players that are taking that shot for you. And that's because of who they are and what they've done in the game. And unless you find yourself in the D in a bit of space, you find those players, get them on the ball and let them make that decision.
Barry, you're off on an adventure, which by the looks of things is a little bit more straightforward than our adventure. So we mightn't see you for a little while, but hopefully we'll meet again in Croke Park.
Yeah, it's a huge possibility. There's nothing to say that a Mayo team that gets Paddy Durkin back, gets Oisin Mullen back, gets Jordan Flynn back. I don't think they need Robbie Henley back. But get those three players, you know, there's a huge chance that they'll make progress in this championship. But they also need to look at it and say, if more often than not, when we play championship football from now on, teams are going to go ultra defensive, and we need to find a way to get around that.
Thanks, Barry. You've been very gracious. You could have been harsh there. I appreciate it.
It wouldn't be worth it.
It wouldn't be worth it. I think if it'd been last year...
We'll do that off air.
Yeah, if it'd been full-on knockout, I think it'd be tough as well. We'll talk to you soon, Barry. Thanks, Billy Joe. For our Patreon listeners, join us in the Clubhouse section of the podcast. That's it.